Welcome to another one of my podcasts, and today we're going to be covering off a debate which happened sooner rather than later within 2019. We're not even through January yet, and it's all kicked off. And this is between two AI providers, InsideSales.com and Scale.ai, and the debate is, will technology, will artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it, replace sales development reps, i.e. there'll be no need for the human element in sales whatsoever. And, you know, for me, this question is too binary. And, you know, I don't think we will get to Skynet in Terminator, for those of you that are familiar. That's the computer system that eventually takes over and runs the cyborgs, which then come back to, you know, take over the world and so on and so forth. That said, if you read anything by Chatham Case, Surviving AI, or Lex Tegmark, Life 3.0, I think they raised some interesting debates and some interesting questions around, you know, where all this may well go. But back to the question and point, you know, is AI going to replace salespeople? Is AI going to be you know, the all-encompassing answer to our problems? You know, is this the cold calling versus social selling debate which raged through 2018, which again is a pointless debate in my view? I am no data scientist by any shape or form, or programmer of algorithms. I don't write code. I don't pertain to even, you know, get into the complexities and the technicality of how this all works. But, you know, I do read a lot of books on this. I've got two children, Olivia, who turns 4 in May of this year, 2019, and Max, who turns 1 in February of this year, 2019. So as a parent, I very much want to understand what world they are going to grow up in, because I think it's going to be very, very different to the one that that I grew up in, certainly pre any of this. And as I said, going back to those authors, Technology versus Humanity by Gerd Leonhard, Life 3.0 by Max Tegmark. If you do read this, don't read the prologue until he tells you to. And he makes a good case for the concepts of Skynets being not too outlandish, especially if you look at where Facebook and Google are currently. Surviving AI by Callum Chase, again, another great author in this field. You know, I've already touched on Facebook. We can't escape the reality of the world we are in now, or possibly is it the virtual one of Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, otherwise known as FANGs, that have had on society, both positive and in more recent times negative, depending, of course, of which side of certain political spectrums you sit in the US or the UK. But I think what was born out of that, and what's born out of the questions and the debate that is now, you know, going on, is that what Cambridge Analytica and Aggregate IQ is showing the world is that when you've got enough data and you are able to understand the human psyche and what kind of makes us tick as people, and with some very clever computer programming, and if we break it down to its bare bones, that's all artificial intelligence is. That's all AI is just a bunch of algorithms that have been written and that are run by, you know, a very clever piece of computer software. You can influence people to, you know, do what you want, when you want, in real time. And as we've seen, it can only be a small percentage of people in terms of a large, you know, data set, but that small percentage could be enough to swing elections one way or the other. And there was a piece from The Guardian, which I will read. Online ad campaigns created by academics in Britain and the US have targeted millions of people based on psychological traits perceived from a single like on Facebook, demonstrating, they say, the effect of mass psychological persuasion. More than 3.5 million people, mostly women in the UK aged 18 to 40, were shown online adverts tailored to their personality type, after researchers found that specific Facebook likes reflected different psychological characteristics. The bespoke campaigns boosted clicks on ads for beauty products and gaming ads by up to 40%, and sales as much as 50% compared with untargeted adverts, according to the researchers, who did not benefit financially from the campaigns. So this is showing that, you know, with some very clever programming, access to data. Brands can potentially get people to do things and get people to buy things without even necessarily talking to, you know, a salesperson. Now, you know, granted, this is very much at the FMCG, so consumer goods end of the market, where there's potentially low risk for the buyer, so we don't need to talk to somebody to go through the motions, as it may well be. But if that is happening today, and notwithstanding you've got GDPR, notwithstanding you have all the kind of data privacy stuff, and yes, you can get VPNs and so on and so forth, but the point of the matter is the horse has already bolted, and this technology is already out there, and this technology is already being deployed. And every time you seem to think that Facebook or Instagram, you know, are trying to do better, then they're not. You know, recently Instagram was caught out selling adverts to the click engines, which they were banning. So they're still feeding the machine that they're trying to get rid of by selling the adverts that they wanted to click on to also get ad revenue, because that's how all these organizations make money. And as I said, you know, this type of influence or guidance from organizations has been happening for years. You know, whenever you go into do your groceries, so be it, you know, Sainsbury's, Tesco, Walmart, I mean, it doesn't matter, and then you scan your store card, and a little voucher gets printed out, you know, with some discount on whatever it is that they want you to, you know, to come in 2-for-1 or 10% off or 20% off. You know, why do you think that is? You know, they want you to come back into store, they want to keep you in store, and they want to keep you spending money in their store. So they entice you back in based on your previous shopping experience, your previous grocery experience in terms of what you have bought, and they know that over time you may have run out of this, or you're more likely to then go on and buy this, or you, based on similar people to you, that you will get this product. And so that's how that voucher comes, you know, that voucher comes out. So instead, this has been happening for, you know, for years. And I recently read Predictive Analytics by Eric Siegel, and his final chapters around uplift modeling and how some consumer organizations are using this technique to understand which are the right audience to market to based on how influenceable they are, is incredible. And this is about actually making sure you're targeting the people to do the right thing and not the wrong thing. So, you know, an example of that was one mobile phone carrier found that when they were targeting individuals that have been on their service for years, kind of bought everything they were ever going to buy in terms of, you know, upsell and cross sell, when they were targeted with advertising just sort of en masse that, hey, there's a new deal out here for new customers, this actually woke them, so to speak, and they actually had a more appetite to leave and go to a new provider than stay. Whereas if they hadn't been marketed to in the first place, the chances are they wouldn't have known there were new deals out there, so they wouldn't have bothered looking for new deals. So there's interesting things around that in terms of actually understanding which are the right people to market to do the right thing versus the wrong thing. And back to that, you know, from a political perspective, you know, Obama was one of the first political, you know, candidates to use this type of technique within his campaign around, you know, door knocking. So which streets, which states, which, you know, wherever, who were the right people to go and knock on a door, because they were, you know, on the fence, but they wanted to make sure that by actually turning up at their door, they voted for Obama, rather than actually having them turn up at their door, they would then vote the other way. But isn't this, you know, every marketing salesperson's dream to know who to target, when to target, what to target with them, what to target them with, so they, you know, go, Forrester referred to in the world of social selling, they go along this self-guided journey. You know, we educate ourselves, we then make the decision, and we then buy when we're ready to buy. And I suppose this comes back into this debate around, you know, whether AI will replace sales development reps, or that's, you know, salespeople generally, BD people generally, doesn't matter. You know, this isn't actually a simple yes or no answer. You know, we can all cite the Kodak moment when they said digital to never take off, or Blockbuster being approached by Netflix, as was, and turning them down, saying streaming over, you know, online would never take off. You know, people want the experience, per se. And I actually remember going down to Blockbuster on a Friday, you know, Friday evening with my parents, hoping they had the video, hoping the video had been rewound, or, you know, the days when you had modems, the 512k modem that crackled into life, and you need to make sure that your parents are off the telephone so you could actually use it, in the world of, you know, MSN chat, as was way back, you know, way back then, or AOL chat, and so on. You know, we've been through well, this generation, my generation, the Zenial, if you want to call it, you know, I was born in 78, so I'm now turned 40 last year, turned 41 this year, and 29. You know, we've been through every iteration of this. And it's interesting if you look at where we are today and look at what Deliveroo has done, look at what Uber has done in terms of actually removing the human aspect completely, other than us, the end user, in terms of ordering, to create a sale. And soon, based on what researchers tell us, there could well be a point where we don't have human beings driving our taxis in the not too distant future. When I mean the not too distant future, I mean within the next, you know, the next couple of, you know, next couple of years. But you know, if we imagine this conversation 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, we'd have been kind of laughed out of the room. But certainly 10 years ago, you know, one would have said this will never, ever, ever happen. You know, people always do things, and we always need the human aspect. You know, sadly, in most cases, when things go wrong, it's typically the humans that mess things up. And you know, if you look at what Amazon is doing, how Amazon is disrupting anything that it's it touches, or progressing, depending on how you look at it, within the retail industry and beyond. But again, you know, I hear you thinking these are all low value consumable goods where there is limited risk. You know, you don't need a salesperson to do the lead generation. You don't need an account rep or account manager or a technical salesperson to deal with that type of thing, because that's not what we do. We sell high value software, we sell high value services, we sell high value kit, whatever it might be. Well, if we look at where we are in the 21st century, if you want to, certainly in the UK, there's a site called carwow.co.uk where you can buy or search for the car you want. You put it online, the dealerships then bid online for your business, so kind of like a reverse auction. You can then finance the entire vehicle and have it delivered to your door, and you don't actually need to talk to a human being. You don't need to go into a showroom. You don't need to see anybody. Yes, there's chat forum capability, so you can do one-to-one chat with you know, a person at the dealership or whatever it might be. But you know, you could buy $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 car if you wanted to, finance the whole thing, do the whole thing online, not talk to a human being. You know, tell me that's not a high-value, high-risk, purchase. You can now buy and sell houses online. You don't need to speak to an estate agent or a realtor. You can do the whole thing online between you, yourself, and the, you know, the purchaser. You can even now do the legal documents online if you wish, without even having to interact with a you know, with a lawyer. I wouldn't necessarily advise doing that in this day and age, but if you want to, there's enough legal documentation online where you can just download a document, and it will, you know, it is a legal document for the purposes that you need. And I recently went through this myself in terms of a short let, and I did the whole thing either online or through an app, and through chat, actually through WhatsApp, in terms of the value the actual individual added was pretty much zipped to nothing. And this is still a seriously high value 3 month short let that we are engaging in, and I didn't deal with a human being. And I used to do this job way back when. My first job was in real estate, was a real estate broker, was an estate agent. And you know, I had a car, I had a Rolodex, and didn't barely had a mobile phone, and we just kind of charged around and did our viewings, and everything was done on paper and, you know, fax. And if we said back then that this was the type of way of doing things, we were like, it's not even possible. Technology doesn't even exist today for you to do that. Well, fast forward, you know, 20 years, and here we are. You can even remortgage your house or mortgage your house online without having to talk to a person. You know, in the UK, sites such as Habito can let you do this on an app. Now, of course. And this is where it gets too binary. And of course, there are still humans behind the scenes. And in some cases, when you're on the chats, you're not actually on a chat bot, you are actually talking to a human being. Sometimes it's debatable in terms of whether the chat bot would be better based on the language and the experience. But overall, there are still humans behind the scenes leveraging their knowledge and expertise they've built up over the years. But what they're doing is they're now taking that knowledge and expertise they've built up over the years, and they're building that into a technological solution. They're building that into a technological platform. And they are evolving with how the market, or their market, their clients and their customers want knowledge, data, insights delivered to them, which typically needs to be fast, easy, probably through a mobile phone, if not through through an app. Then you layer that with some clever technology. It could be AI, it could just be clever technology. The chances are it's a clever technology with a sprinkling of AI, you know, thrown into it. And that's the way we are, that's the way we are today. And hindsight's a fine thing. You know, we look pretty arrogant sitting there 10 years ago, say this never happened, and here it is. But you know, look at what, look at where we're going, look at how quickly the fourth industrial revolution is changing the world. And another thing to consider is the world of the sales development rep. So in the UK market, if you're not familiar, this is kind of the old school cold calling, telesales type role, but it's becoming more sophisticated than that. But they are of an era, they are the millennials. So the, who they are selling to is their own audience. And the older scale of the millennial means that in 2018, so millennials, anyone born between 81 and 96, so they are currently 22 to 37. So if we take the older end of the scale, 37 last year in 2018, these people are in positions of making decisions, management decisions, direct decisions they make. Well, they've even bought and, you know, created, bought and sold their own business by the time they reach, you know, reach 40. And they are of an era where they don't really understand this. They weren't, they were at the tipping point of being born directly into kind of digital. So they had this all along, and they grew up with this rather than being across that that tipping point. But they, as the people they are selling to, have an expectation of how to interact with a brand because that's what they do on a daily basis. So it's interesting that there's this debate around the SDR, because surely the SDR should be the one that drives this, because they're the ones that actually understand how they want to be sold to, because they're the ones that are doing the buying as well as the selling. And of course they interact very differently to the Gen Xers and baby boomers. And there's a video which is on YouTube, of course, where a father has shown or videoed his two sons trying to understand a cassette tape. And genuinely, when you watch it, you know, they look at cassette tape, they don't understand where the batteries are, they don't understand how you listen to it, they don't understand where the headphones plug in. They don't actually understand that that has to go into another machine to then play the music, because they are of the iPod, you know, the iPod generation. And the challenge is that, you know, for me, artificial intelligence has become the broad brushstroke term to cover anything that is technology these days. So if we break it down, I went into the Oxford English Dictionary and, you know, just looked up, you know, what is the definition of artificial intelligence? So it's described as a noun, the theory and development of computer systems able to perform tasks normally requiring human intelligence, such as visual perception, speech recognition, decision making, and translation between languages. So in short, artificial intelligence is a system that normally requires human intelligence. So it's a computer system that normally require human intelligence that a computer can do. What is an algorithm? A noun, process, or set of rules to be followed, or calculations or other problem solver operations, especially by a computer. So an algorithm is literally just a set of rules or calculations, problem solving operations, especially by a computer. So that is the list of things to do. And then if we go one step further, we want to look at machine learning. So machine learning, again, noun, the capacity of a computer to learn from experience, i.e. to modify its processing on the basis of newly acquired information. And this was originally termed back in the 1950s, and earliest for use was found in an IBM journal. So if we then look at the different types of artificial intelligence, you've got artificial narrow intelligence. Narrow AI is the only form of AI that humanity has achieved so far. This is AI that is good at performing a single task, such as playing chess or Go, or making purchase suggestions, sales predictions, or weather forecasts. Computer vision, natural language processing are still, at the current stage, narrow. Speech and image recognition are narrow, even if their advances seem fascinating. Even Google's translation engine, sophisticated as it is a form of narrow intelligence, narrow artificial intelligence. Self-driving car technology is still considered a type of narrow AI, or more precisely, a coordination of several narrow AIs. Artificial general intelligence, or AGI. General AI is known as human level AI or strong AI, is the type of artificial intelligence that can understand and reason its environment as a human would. General AI has always been elusive, and we've been saying for decades that it's just around the corner. Artificial superintelligence, according to the University of Oxford scholar and AI expert Nick Bostrom, when AI becomes much smarter than the best human brains in practically every field, including scientific creativity, general wisdom and social skills, we've achieved artificial superintelligence. ASI is even more vague than AGI at this point. So when it comes to, you know, artificial intelligence or technology, someone once described it to me as, imagine that you are baking a cake. So the recipe book is full of recipes or algorithms, and you as the human being follow the recipe in terms of 100 grams of this, 10 grams of that, 8 ounces of that, 3 eggs, blah, 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 bake in the oven for 180 degrees, off we go. Now, you are following a set of rules. So the algorithm is the set of rules, and you as the person are the artificial intelligence following the set of rules. Now, if I bake a cake and you bake a cake following exactly the same recipe, we're going to bake different cakes, because it's the human nature, it's the human intuitive, it's the flair that each of us will add or not add in, you know, into that, but also our previous experience of baking cakes in terms of the subtle nuances around that. If we gave that to a computer program, the computer program would bake exactly the same cake every single time, following the rules at exactly the same time, and that's what they do. Then if you layer some machine learning on top of that, it would look at the output of all the cakes that it baked, learnt from the new data from the cake, I don't know, taste, feel, weight, whatever, and go, okay, maybe this is where we can make some changes. So that's how machine learning is. So in simple terms, an algorithm is a recipe, it's a set of rules. Artificial intelligence is the human equivalent of following those set of rules to do something. And this is where it comes to, you know, AI and sales. We're very much in the narrow space, you know, narrow AI, if it's AI at all, performing very simple single tasks. It could be emailing, robocalls, chatbots, automation of social media posts. If you use Hootsuite or Buffer, one could argue in very loose sense that that's artificial intelligence, but maybe never would, because we just see it as a computer program posting a set of posts at a time, either predetermined by the system or by the human being to do something. That is replacing human behavior, that is replacing a human to do something. It's rather manually doing it, the computer's doing it. Is that AI? I don't see it as AI, I just see it as, you know, just it just does what it does, right? And you know, if we stick with kind of chatbots for the moment, because that's probably the closest thing we can get to understanding where maybe the chatbot would replace the human, and maybe you've had that, you've already used a chatbot in terms of customer experience online with bookings or, you know, customer complaints or whatever it might be. You know, according to 2018 survey, a piece from Inc. Inc.com makes an interesting debate. According to a 2018 survey, there are subtle but different differences between millennials and baby boomers in terms of the expectation of chatbots. Surprisingly, baby boomers are 12% more likely than millennials to expect 24-hour service and 20% more likely to expect an instant response. While rapid response times are important to millennials, this demographic is emphasizing high-quality customer experience in chatbots. 45% of millennials expect a good customer experience in chatbots, compared to only 38% of baby boomers. Chatbots will need to become more human-like to meet the demands of the younger generations before implementing a chatbot. Make sure there is a focus on the human feel. So we're still a long way from this. Yet, however, despite the enormous potential of chatbots, there will always be a need for a human touch when it comes to interaction with customers. According to a study by HubSpot, 57% of people rather get help from a real person than an AI program. Companies will put themselves on life support if they blindly supplant all human functions with chatbots. Genuine human relationships are an organization's most powerful resource. And this is what it boils down to. This is not and or debate, much like cold calling versus social selling was and still is. It's not either or. This is about where this is going to fit into the overall customer journey, where this is going to fit into, where whatever the technology is, doesn't matter what it does, how does this fit into making life easier for the sales reps, giving them more time, the BDT more time, giving a better experience for your customers, etc., so on and so forth. So let's just, you know, wind the clock, let's break it down, let's simplify it, let's get it down to its absolute basics, let's go back to analog, go back to old school, focus on the outputs. You know, what are we actually trying to do? And that really hasn't changed, in fact hasn't changed at all in the 20 years. You know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get people to buy our products as quickly and efficiently with the highest margin we can, give or take, and get good customer, good feedback, and on sale, upsell, and so on. But where we're now at, this is all about it's now on the customer's terms. This is now on their terms, not your terms. So yes, you know, as an SDR, as a business development person, as a sales rep, whatever, you're trying to get that first business meeting, that first business call, that qualified lead. You know, whatever it is, we want to engage with our prospects and clients as quickly and efficiently as we're able. But as I said, this is very much now on their terms. So this is where technology can really start to come to its own. And I refer to a brilliant piece written by Marcia Arifo Johnson back in November 2017. You know, machines would essentially open doors to a better understanding of ourselves. And whilst the article itself actually refers to marketers, I think you can replace marketers with sales, because what it boils down to is all about data, 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 data. And this is where the modern SDR needs to be focusing their attention. You know, if I were an SDR today, I'd be demanding from both my leaders in marketing, you know, what is our data strategy? What type of technology do we have? What can I extract? What is in place to support me in terms of what am I doing? How can we use this data to let inbound take care of itself? And where do I fit into the outbound conversational piece, if at all? Maybe more value can be driven by an SDR watching the data and tweaking things accordingly behind the scenes. Based on that understanding, they'll still have human conversations, either VC or through chatbot potentially, who knows, but this will be based on a completely different understanding of that person they are talking to. Because back to that thing around one like, you can predict a person's personality. Well, based on the data and insight that you can start to gather from your customer behavior, from client feedback you've done previously, you know, for me, this is no longer selling, this is about enabling the purchase. And I've been saying this for a while now, but maybe the role of sales needs to evolve and change a bit. We're not selling anymore, we're enabling. And the rise of sales enablement to enable people, well, let's enable the salespeople to enable a purchase. Let's then enable to have a, you know, conversation. And you know, this is why Microsoft ultimately paid $26 billion for LinkedIn. You know, they wanted data. You look at what they're doing with AI for sales and AI for market insights to help drive all this. And yeah, this will replace some roles, but then these roles will evolve and they'll evolve into new roles. And there'll be roles out there that we don't even know exist that this technology is going to create. It's down to those to understand and recognize that and see if they can evolve with the times or just ahead of the times. So when those new roles appear, they are ready to take them. You know, we are in the world of account-based intelligence. You know, however, to quote Fallon Fatami, the founder of Node, the science is only as good as the art of selling. So you have all the data in the world, but you know, if you're crap at sales when you don't understand the customer, then that's not really going to help you. Or you could create this amazing, using data and technology, create this amazing online experience. Then the person has a phone call and it all goes wrong. So you know, maybe the evolution of the sales development rep, maybe moving to the world, they become sales data reps. Who knows? Anyway, for me, I hope you found that insightful and interesting. As ever, I'm always happy to listen to ideas. If anybody wants to come on the podcast, drop me a note. Follow me on LinkedIn, Alexander Lowe, on Twitter, Alexander_Lowe, or on Instagram, digital_Alexander. Follow on all three. But as ever, thank you so much for giving me up, half an hour or so of your time to listen to my thoughts. Hope you found it interesting. And until next week.